everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Misha coming to you live every day. Misha and William are off today doing some other things, and so it is going to be me going solo and going to have a great conversation. It has been a fully packed week. I'm actually down here in Houston. Was in Louisiana Sherm before that, up in Baton Rouge, the lovely people there, and then headed down to Houston at the my first PSYOP conference, which is the Society of Industrial Organizational Psychologists, or psychology, and which has been really cool. Just been in the space for a long time on the assessment side, and so it's nice to be at one place with a lot of really interesting people that believe in the science of behaviors and screening and selection and performance. So that's been the scientist side of it is fascinating. So very good. And well, let's get to our guests as quickly as we can here. And I would love to introduce, first time on the show, Kate. How did you pronounce your last name? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Adamitz Jenkins.
Adamitz Jenkins. There we go. I've taken notes, and I couldn't even read them, so it's typical Friday. So how about we'll just call you Kate. That makes it so much easier.
That works for me.
Well, welcome to the show. Hopefully you've had a good week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty soggy where I'm at. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, and it's rained every day for the last week or feels like a month, but
when the gray doesn't stop and the rain just continues on, especially where it's spring and you get bits and pieces of, hey, spring's here, it's fantastic, things start blooming and then bam, it all happens. Luckily it's not snow, so that's a positive.
Right.
Let's kick it off. If you would introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and then we'll kind of roll into what's top of mind for you.
Okay, great. Well, I am a talent management consultant with a credit union here in Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin Credit Union, to be exact. And what I really am responsible for, I work in the human resources and organizational development area, and I'm responsible for our performance management structure here and the systems to support that, as well as leadership development for the organization. And I also act as a HR generalist for a number of about 8 different areas of the credit union. In addition to that, I'm a professional coach, and so I do a lot of internal coaching, primarily for leaders, and also individual development coaching for individual contributors here as well. And so what I was going to talk about today is really near and dear to my heart, and it's the topic of career development.
Okay. Well, let's jump right into that. And what's kind of just maybe define what you consider your world, I mean, in your world or for you personally, you consider career development to be, because that's a pretty big,
yeah,
topic.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and really, you know, that's what we are in the process of defining right now, is what does career development mean within our organization? We are a cooperative, as the credit unions are, and so we're member-owned. We have about 430 employees and about 20 branches throughout Wisconsin. And so that's our trajectory in terms of, scope and individuals. When we talk about career development, we're really in the process of really defining that, but where we're at today is defining it as, it's really about, it can fall into kind of 3 categories. So at any given point in time, you might be in the exploration area of career development, might be in the progression area, or be in a transformation area. And how we're defining those right now is exploration is really like, kind of like, what do I want to do when I grow up? I'm here, I'm not exactly sure where maybe I fit or what my strengths are, and so I need to just do a lot of self-assessment. It's interesting that you mentioned that you were at that industrial psychology conference recently. I've got an undergrad in psychology, and I've always been really interested in what makes people tick, right? That's what psychology is about. And so we're sort of, what we want to do is bring some of that science into the workplace here and provide some assessments. Some of them more scientific, maybe some of them less scientific, but it's about helping individuals raise their self-awareness and really understanding, what am I really good at? What am I not good at? What revs me up? What drains me energetically? And what's really important to me? You know, so trying to help individuals get a better sense of that so that they can understand what, have a better sense of the direction, and then line that up with where the organization needs them and kind of get on the right seat on the bus. So really defining, we're trying to look at, you know, and really say, okay, for the individuals that fall in there, what can we provide for them? Then on the progression side of things, it's, you know, kind of moving up the ladder in traditional terms, but it can also mean moving around the lattice within the organization. So I might be interested in another role that's more of a lateral move for me, pay grade wise maybe, but a better fit for me from a strength base. You know, I can really, I really have a it suits my strengths a little bit better. And so how do I get there? We also have progression, a well-defined progression path here for leadership. And then also we want to be thinking about what are the traditional paths, as I mentioned before, like up the ladder. So, you know, I'm a teller. How do I get to be a senior teller? How do I get to be a financial specialist? How do I get to be a senior level financial specialist, and so on? And
right.
I was just going to round out with the third area of that transformation bucket or category, meaning what if I want to make that's the individual that's in the, I'm going to make a career change altogether here, meaning I'm probably going to have to gain some additional education and it's going to take me a little bit longer to shift. So, for instance, in the HR, if I want to shift into IT maybe, I don't have any IT background, I might need to take some steps and put together a pretty specific career plan to make a career change, a specific change to another industry. And sometimes that's internal and sometimes that's external.
Well, what a very well-defined kind of, from a career development perspective, very well-defined. I know for a lot of generalists and a lot of folks that drop into organizations and are fairly new, you know, making that all into something from when you have nothing tends to be overwhelming, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I think I've heard more and more and more in the last probably year that all of a sudden it's becoming much more a requirement of, okay, we need to figure this out because we know we're going to hit the end of the runway on the supposed leadership pretty quickly. And we don't really have a succession or a career development plan or anything in place. So what would be a good place for organizations of any size that really don't have anything right now to actually start? What's a good starting point for them?
Yep. That's a great question, Brian. I'll tell you where we started. We, last year, myself and a colleague were charged with the goal to develop a program to kind of like a management trainee program for the organization. We called it our Emerging Leader Program. And so what it ended up being is a 12-month program where we have a nomination process and we actually have a battery of individuals that go through this program, and that's how we've decided to build our bench of future leaders. But we had nothing a year ago or 2 years ago. So we really started from scratch, and what we did is we started by interviewing the key stakeholders in our organization. And by key stakeholders, I mean the individuals that we identified, they were towards the top of the organization first. Those individuals that were going to be the individuals at the end of the year that we were going to want to, they were going to say, you know, what do you think of the program? How do you think it's working? So we started talking with the COO. We started talking with a number of talked with the head of HROD, of course. We talked with a number of key leaders and just sat down with them for a half hour and said, "What is, if you hear the word Emerging Leader Program, and you think about our goal to build the bench of future leaders, what are the learning imperatives that have to be covered for this organization? What are the learning imperatives that are most important to you in the segment of the business that you oversee?" And we took a bunch of notes. And then we also talked with individuals who were who had been promoted as leaders within the organization. So folks that had grown up through the ranks, as I sometimes say, or been promoted into leadership jobs from an individual contributor standpoint. And we interviewed them and said, what do you wish you knew, or what do you know now that you wish you would have known when you were promoted? And we got a lot of good insight there. And those two questions and those individuals really helped us define what needed to be involved with the program from a content standpoint and how to set up our success measures to figure out, to help us identify, are we meeting the goals of this program? Is it meaningful? Is it really developing a bench of future leaders?
What a great question, because that's a question that I've asked over the years, back in my kind of corporate kind of ladder climbing days. You gave me some good validation. I'm kind of just laughing to myself here, because I used to go seek out, you know, a couple of like the main people that I knew had been really successful in the roles or who I promoted. I would seek them out and say, okay, what was your biggest surprises? What were the biggest, you know, what were the biggest things that you wish you knew? That was kind of my MO as I kind of went through the organization, which is funny. It never occurred to me that would be a great place to start, you know, from a career development standpoint, as you kind of put a framework around that. So that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been any surprises in that question? You know, not to get specific to your organization, but anything you're like, huh, I never would have thought that they would say that on what they wish they would have known.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what I remember hearing from one of the individuals that I talked to, who was an individual who had been promoted into an assistant branch manager role and had been in the role for a couple of years, he said, you know, he was surprised, and it surprised me because I wasn't top of mind, that the time that it takes for him to do his role, and that when you move into a manager role, it was sort of an aha for him, or a leadership role, that, you know, it's a lot of work. Not only are you responsible for your own performance, but now you're responsible for performance through others, like sometimes upwards of, you know, 11 people in our particular situation. And for some reason, what I heard from him is he sort of underestimated the extra energy, attention, and time that additional responsibility takes from you or requires.
Right. Interesting. Well, that's a really cool kind of a starting point. Love that. So what has been, because this is a great, I mean, this is probably one of my favorite topics, because I see it as probably one of the biggest chokeholds on anywhere from hypergrowth all the way to kind of emerging to like mature to declining. I mean, that's part of the reason that it is declining potentially, as far as the stage where some businesses are at.
Yep.
So what's another thing? I mean, what's one of the areas that if you had to kind of, you were in charge, Kate, you were in charge of all areas of career development for everybody in the U.S. anyway. We'll narrow the scope.
Eaters.
So what would you do differently if you just had unlimited resources and you wanted to whiteboard this thing out to help people really dial this thing in?
Boy, you know, I don't know. When you say that, that's a tall order, first of all, Brian, but what comes to top of mind to me is customization. I mean, I'm a professional coach, and so my MO is going right to wherever that client is at. I do not take a cookie cutter approach. And so customization to the individual is really what speaks to me and what I find to be the most effective based on, you know, my experience in my particular role. And by customization, I mean, where is the individual at? Where is, you know, whether and how you get there, I don't, you know, that's something you got to I would have some highly trained professionals hopefully supporting me if I was in charge of all of this. And something that I'm pretty passionate about, you know, we're in the process of figuring out and putting together here at UW Credit Union is, all right, so a customized approach is great, but then how do you help everybody, how do you provide the resources for that customized approach? So how do you provide everybody the appropriate level of coaching, if that's the right thing? How do you provide everyone the appropriate level of resources and knowing which resources for what individual? And how do you train? I mean, what we're going to be working on is training our managers to get better at developing their people. We already have leaders that are really quite good at developing staff, but we need to take it to the next level, because our problem here, I mean, the presenting problem or the burning platform, is that we have a we are competitive in terms of being able to attract talent. We have a commitment here and a strategy to attract and retain talent so that we can have an engaged workforce of high-performing individuals, and then, of course, a high-performing culture and high-performing organization. And so we can attract pretty – we are looking for top talent, right? Not unlike, I'm sure, other organizations as well. But being able to retain them – career development, we can retain them through benefits, we can retain them through a number of different ways, but we really see career development, especially with Generation Y. We know, we hear when we're interviewing folks, development from this particular, this generation, development and opportunity for growth is super important. It's top, one of the top drivers for them as they are looking to work somewhere. So we really need to focus on career development and figuring out adding more structure and more support for those individuals so that we bring in the talent, and then they can find that we have structure here that they can find the right seat on the bus, if you will, right? We practice a first who, then what hiring philosophy here. We're big followers of the Jim Collins Good to Great book. That's where that concept comes from. First who, then what. And that essentially means hire for culture and fit first, and then technical stuff next. So we get in the door individuals that fit our culture and our we feel like fit with our core values, and get them on a seat on the bus. And hopefully if we're really good and there's, you know, luck is on our side, we get them on the right seat right away. But let's face it, we have individuals in this economy coming in that are more qualified than perhaps the role that they have joined us for, and they're coming to maybe get in their foot in the door. So in order for us to retain that level of talent, and we retain individuals by keeping them engaged, where they feel like they are contributing, they're working from their strengths, and they're delivering service for our members, able to really act in our members' best interest, which is our top core value. We have to make sure they're on the right seat. We're leveraging their talent so it's a mutually beneficial experience. They feel like they are really energized and providing value and engaged and feeling good about their work. And, of course, the organization is really, and our members, most importantly, are receiving the benefit of that through someone who's really not only engaged but, of course, knowledgeable. So we hire for fit, and we get them on the bus, and then career development for us, I think at least this is my part of my vision and the vision of the team that I'm working with to develop this, is to help people find the right seat, the best seat on the bus that is the best for them personally and the best for the organization as well. And we're just in the process of, you know, creating our own path to help that come to fruition.
Nice. Well, everybody, I'm going to do a quick reset. It's Brian, Drive-Through HR, talking with Kate about career development, and she is lining out a strategy for the entire corporate country of the United States, which I know it's a tall order in 30 minutes, and you're doing a great job, I might add. Next question. So, what are some of the technologies? I mean, how does technology play into kind of your day-to-day or even long-term strategy for career development?
This is the exciting part, and I think that I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, because I think this is how we deliver. It's key to delivering customization at a grand scale. leveraging technology. We have a couple of pieces of technology here that really help us. One is our employee performance management system, which is through Halogen software.
Okay.
And that really, really helps us because it really provides a lot of transparency in that staff, individual contributors, and leaders both can house performance information and see what they're working on, and it really allows individual employees to support them to take ownership for their performance as well. So with our particular system, we really like the performance journal aspect of this system, and it's really just a you can think of it as entries. I call it the crock pot of performance journal kind of tracking or performance tracking, because I can create a little performance journal in this technology. I use it as a crock pot in that I keep track of things I want to talk to my manager about in a little journal note, and that way I don't forget about them. So I kind of set it and forget it. I put my note in there, I set it and forget it, and when it's time for me to meet with my boss, I can go back to my journal entry, and I have all of my dialogue agenda information right there. It also really helps leaders when it comes time to formally assess performance. Our leaders here meet with employees on a regular basis, which is monthly, every about 4 to 6 weeks, and then we do a biannual performance appraisal. And Halogen, or this employee performance management system, because we keep as much as we possibly can when it relates to performance in this system, it automates everything sort of in a central repository, and then it automates. The technology supports you to really just even be able to attach these notes or these examples of performance right into the performance appraisal. So it really saves leaders a lot of time along the way as well. The other piece of technology that I think is really exciting, and we're just starting to really access and get used to it, is web authoring tools, training authoring tools. And I can't even, I'll self-disclose, I can't even talk super intelligently about this, but the system that we have purchased and are beginning to work with is Adobe Captivate. And this allows us to create kind of like just-in-time learning and just-in-time education for individuals. We've been doing a lot with video tutorials. So when we have to roll something new out, for instance, Halogen, our employee performance management system, just rolled out a new version, and we wanted to acclimate and share with our employees what was going to be different for them. We used Adobe Captivate to take screenshots of the Halogen system, and then we voice over and kind of can drive them right through the screenshots and talk at the same time with what they mean and how it's going to be different, and we can deliver something on it. Then we can deliver those little video vignettes of maybe 2 minutes right on our intranet site in real time or as you need it kind of information. So our staff can just go out in 2 minutes, kind of be able to see and hear very quickly what's going to be new with this technology.
Well, that's I know that I've used Captivate in the past, one of those tools, and they've gotten so much better and so much more powerful. How do they have you, what are plans around mobile? I mean, where does mobility and mobile and smartphones play into your world over the next year or two or 5 years or however long?
Yeah, well, it's huge for us right now. We are just on the cusp of rolling out a mobile app for our membership, so that they can do their banking on their phone. So that is here and now, right now. That's in the marketplace right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say it's in the marketplace. It will soon be in the marketplace for us as a product.
Sure. So how do you envision, and just to stay with the career development theme, how do you envision mobile actually being adopted and serving of value as that communication, the communication tool for people to actually get content and get feedback? I mean, where does that play in for, you know, the folks that you work with?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think when I think about mobile, I think about the value that it adds. Most obvious value, at least to me, is in the efficiency. the speed at which I can get information, and in some cases it helps me be more efficient, helps me do more in less time. So, like, just as I was preparing to get ready for this time with you, Brian, I jumped on my phone real quick and did a couple of things mobily so that I could use that 10 minutes or 15 minutes in between what I had else on my – whatever else I had on my agenda today to get that done. So I really think, you know, where exactly, I don't know, but I think where we will see is if there is an opportunity to get information out in a quick way where people can digest it in small pieces and have access to it very easily and more effectively or in more ways than what they would otherwise, that's where we have to start looking to leverage that technology.
Well, and that's, you know, probably the biggest thing with, I know everybody, like, mobile is a hot conversation and everything, but the biggest challenge is, I mean, you've got to really drive some value to that because we're all so busy and you're being hit with so many different ways to access information. You've really got to position it where it's critical and important and valuable or it just won't get adopted. That's pretty consistent.
Well, exactly. I mean, you shouldn't go mobile just to go mobile because everybody else is doing it. I mean,
right.
That's not a reason. In fact, speaking of my agenda, the rest of my day is to attend a training on relationship building here. We are taking over half of our organization and training them, providing ongoing training for really developing and continuing to develop and deepen relationships with our members because our members are why we are here. We're here to act in their best interest. And so a huge topic of that training is how do we add value for our members? How do we individually add values for our members? And part of that training is how from a web-based tools and products and services perspective do we and can we add value for our members? And if we have to know and our staff have to know, if organizationally, very, very closely, and also those that are out there talking about our products and services really have to know the value that it brings because that's the power and the importance for our members is the value to them, not just that we happen to have mobile because it's, you know, the thing to do.
Sure. Now, that's that is million-dollar advice right there, folks. Don't do it just to do it. Come on now. That's and don't succumb to the pressures of we just need to do it. It's like, okay, well, there's no business case, then we shouldn't do it. I know it sounds simplistic, but we run into that stuff all the time.
Yep.
So we've got about a minute and a half left. I told you it would go so fast. It always does when you have the conversation. So last question. So personally, where do you draw inspiration from?
Personally, I really this is again it sounds simplistic and it might sound idealistic, but that's me. This is the honest truth. I really draw inspiration from how I can add value and help other people. That's why I'm a coach. That's why I'm an HROD. I draw inspiration from getting to know other people. I get really revved up and energized about understanding how people tick. I mentioned earlier I have a psychology background, so it's something that's always been of interest to me. And it works well here at UW Credit Union because it's really part of our core values of who we are as well, as we really are member focused. And so if I can come from a place in my work where I am getting to understand people and then understanding their needs and then making suggestions or helping to add value to them based on what they want and need, boy, that's huge inspiration for me. Huge inspiration.
Well, that is a perfect way to end the show. Kate, thank you so much for coming on with us today, especially a Friday. What a good way to end, and good conversation on LD. I love that stuff, so that hit home for me personally. So maybe we can get you back on toward the end of the year to see how things are going.
Would love to. Thank you so much, Brian.
Well, great. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Take a little time. Look up. Get some sunshine. Smell the flowers. Whatever you need to do. Have some coffee. Chill out. We are out. We will talk to you on Monday.
Man.